This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Welcome to everyone physically present for the committee this morning and those that are attending via remote through the magic of fiber optic cable, wireless, or other mechanism. We appreciate your attendance at the committee this morning. A reminder that if you are appearing before the committee to give testimony on any matter under consideration this morning, that you please sign in at the podium in the back and register who you are, where you're from, which piece of legislation you are testifying for, and whether you are an opponent or proponent. If you appear before the committee on anyone else's behalf than your own, please ensure that you have signed in with the Secretary of State's office and registered as a lobbyist and appear with the appropriate badging. Failure to do so will render you a timeout to go visit the Secretary of State's office to get appropriately adorned so you can appear before the committee as you should. Please direct all questions through the chair when we get to the question and answer session, and answers the same. We have two pages with us this morning to help us out. If you have information or materials to distribute, I ask you to provide them to one of the two pages so they may distribute them to us instead of approaching the committee directly. Ladies, if you'd come forward this morning and tell us all who you are, where you're from, and where you might be headed, we'd like to hear from you.
Good morning. My name is Beth Nagel. I'm a senior at Gettysburg High School, and next year I'm going to attend SDSU, and I plan to major in ag communications.
Jack Rabbit. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Grace Adam. I am a junior and I'm homeschooled from Clarksville, South Dakota. And next year I plan to attend Northern State University in Aberdeen for counseling and music.
Great. We have it on good authority. You know how to sing a note or two. Is that correct? Thank you for being here. One final reminder this morning, the committee has a strict no noise other than speaking during the committee proceedings. If you have an electronic device that whistles, buzzes, beeps, or otherwise would be disruptive, I ask that you neutralize it now. The penalty for such is steep for violating the policy. This morning, we're going to have the penalty administered by Claire. She will decide the amount and direction of any fine or other penance you must pay for the education committee. You can plead your case to her. I found her to be extremely decisive, and I imagine that your plea for mercy will go nowhere. So you are forewarned. We have minutes from our previous meeting. I will entertain a motion to approve as soon as, see if we're paying attention, we call the roll to ensure we have a quorum. Mona, if you would.
Senator Bolin?
Here.
Heinert?
Here.
Jensen?
Here.
Smith?
Here.
Steinhauer?
Here.
Shane Fish?
Here.
And Kurd?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Quorum does exist. Now we'll entertain Senator Jensen's motion that the minutes are approved, seconded by Senator Bolin. All in favor? Aye. Any opposed? Seeing none, the minutes are approved from our previous meeting. Senator Bolin.
I do believe that Senator Steinhauer made the seconding motion on this motion, the seconding motion for the approval of the minutes, so I'd like that to be duly recorded. Thank you.
Now, Senator Bolin's out of order. I clearly heard it come from the left side of my ear. We'll record the minutes appropriately. This morning, the first matter for consideration by the Senate Education Committee will be House Bill 1031. That's to revise certain provisions regarding school district fiduciary funds, introduced by the Committee on Education in the House at the request of the DOE. Proponents for House Bill 1031 this morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair.
Morning.
Cody Stolzer, Finance Management Director for the Department of Education. What 1031 does is make a slight change to some wording to match up with the Governmental Accounting Standards Board. They issued statement number 84, and they changed agency funds to custodial funds, and that was their the only change that we wanted to make sure we made to the bill to align with their standards and terminology. There's other strikes in the bill also to just take out some wording, some unnecessary wording. And that's that's all this bill does for right now.
So you'd say there's some style and form changes and a definitional change. Is that accurate?
No, the definitions don't change. It's just a word change. They went from agency, the name agency, to custodial. That's all it is. No definitions of how the funds are issued at school levels or anything else like that.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Further proponents, House Bill 1031. If there are none, is there anyone that wishes to appear in opposition to House Bill 1031? Seeing none, we'll waive your right to rebut and entertain committee questions, action, or discussion on House Bill 1031. Senator Boland.
Thank you. Question for the gentleman who testified.
Please.
I think it would be in, I think I have an idea what these funds are, but I think it'd be good for the committee to hear. Can you give me an example or maybe a couple of examples of what would be included within these monies that are the responsibility of a school district?
Sure.
Please.
Yes, these are funds that are temporary funds that school district officials, business officials house for like maybe clubs or senior classes for trips and stuff like that. It's temporary funds that they house. It's short-term funds.
Okay. If I could just follow up. So this would be another example would be gate receipts from athletic contests. Would that be accurate?
Yes.
Okay.
Like that, or maybe the kids that work concession stands that contribute to their funds to go on a senior trip or something, okay. Or class funds.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Further questions on House Bill 1031? If there aren't any further, any discussion or action, House Bill 1031? Senator Steinhauer.
Move approval.
Second. Senator Steinhauer moves to pass House Bill 1031, seconded by Senator Jensen. Comments on your motion, Senator?
Very compelling testimony. We should pass it.
Thank you. Further comments on the do pass motion by Senator Steinhauer regarding House Bill 1031? Seeing none, those in favor of the do pass motion made by Senator Steinhauer, seconded by Senator Jensen, will say aye, yes, or yay. Those opposed, nay. Mona, if you would please call our names so we may appropriately record our decision.
Senator Boland?
Aye.
Heinert?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
Smith?
Aye.
Steinhauer?
Yay.
Shane Fish?
Aye.
Kurd?
Yay.
Seven yeas, no nays.
Seven yeas is unanimous. House Bill 1031's due pass motion has been approved by the Senate Education Committee, and without objection will be placed on the consent calendar for consideration by the Senate. Moving along, the next item up, we might be done before 8 o'clock unless Senator Greenfield is incredibly verbose this morning, but maybe not. Next matter for consideration before the Senate Education Committee, Senate Bill 123, make an appropriation for the Literacy Intervention Program. Welcome, Senator Greenfield.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm about to comply with your request, although I see that a couple members haven't complied with your standards. There, I'm official.
You are.
My name is Brock Greenfield. I'm the senator from District 2.
Including myself, you might have been pointing at. But I'm not appearing.
I'm not pointing any fingers, Mr. Chair. My hometown is Clark. I have before you Senate Bill 123, as you mentioned, and this speaks to an issue that the legislature chose to fund 4 years ago. And the Literacy Intervention Program proved to yield very positive results. I have sought anecdotal evidence from various administrators. Some have sought me out. Others I've sought out, asking them what their experience has been with this program. And it has been positive. The reviews are rave reviews. And
uh-oh.
If I did that, I apologize.
Claire, are you ready?
Just kidding. My sleeve touched a keyboard
at the
desk.
I don't know.
Jeepers.
Wow. Claire's harsh.
I feel as though I've been sabotaged. At any rate, Mr. Chair and members of the committee, I know that there are I believe there's at least one other person who would like to testify, but let me just suffice it to say that last year we had a couple gentlemen here discussing the Imagine Learning program that a number of schools participated with. They availed themselves of the senators and representatives, any questions that we had. And again, I go back to what I've heard from administrators and teachers whose schools have had interaction with this program. They've experienced great gains in terms of literacy. Kids have achieved at a very high level with this program. It's interactive, and it supplements what they learn in the classroom. It's not a replacement for that. So I very much believe in the program. I would ask that if you, after hearing the evidence that's presented, the testimony that's presented, should you agree with that, I'd ask you to send this to Appropriations, where the Appropriations Committee can consider the fiscal concerns contemplated in the bill. But from a policy standpoint, I would encourage your open-mindedness relative to this program, and I think that they've demonstrated over the years that South Dakota has been involved achievement. The other thing I would point out is that in the case with Imagine Learning, who we contracted with 4 years ago, they made more accounts available to us than what we had even contracted for. They recognized that the state had stepped forward and allowed a number of schools to participate, and they weren't going to get hung up on, well, they've only got 30 allotments and 40 or 34 students in the class. And so they said, I guess essentially lessen the cost per account. And so we've gotten a real bang for our buck over the course of the program that we participated in. Some of the schools who have seen this have continued to participate at their own expense. The idea would be that we allow more schools who aren't familiar with the program to come on board, help supplement maybe some of those that are struggling with finances, and allow them all this opportunity. But again, your charge is to, I think, evaluate the program, and if you feel that there's validity to the claims that I'm making and that will be made, please consider sending this to Appropriations. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee.
Thank you. Further proponents? Senate Bill 123. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. My name is Mitch Richter. I'm a registered lobbyist for Imagine Learning. I'm passing around some of the results and a little bit of information about Imagine Learning and how it came to be. Like Senator Greenfield said, in 2016, the program started, and it came about. Senator Peters was at a NCSL meeting, I believe it was, and she ran into some senators from Utah, and they talked about this program and this company and how they were really closing the achievement gaps with ELL students. And she brought them to South Dakota, and they did a presentation to the legislature at that point. And at that time, we found a pot of money that came from about three or four different funds that had leftover funds in it, and that's how the program started. The funding ran out in June of this last year. You'll see on the handout, the last page shows you some of the schools that were involved in the grant process. In addition to that, we have a number of other schools that have bought the program on their own. After some of the grant money ran out, some of the school districts on the back page included they didn't buy as many licenses as what's there, but they did include many of them. Any district that has ELL students has found this to be very successful. The nice thing about this program is the metrics that are built into the program for to show the achievement from each student. So it's not just the district saying this is what the student is accomplishing. It it's built into the program and spits out the results. And what you see is a 1.27 academic year of growth every year, and that's been very good for each of the districts that have used this program. What we're proposing with this is that we're able to fund some of the districts that want to continue to use this, as well as open it up for other districts. It fits nicely in with the achievement gap program that the Department of Ed is trying to accomplish. It definitely shows that can happen. It also fits in with the strategic plan that the department has come up with to help schools identify best practices and best products. I've worked with Senator Greenfield and have shown him a couple of different funds that have either leftover money or money that's going to be unused in the Department of Ed. So we're not asking for general funds necessarily in this program, but I helped identify a program that does have the money for this. So we would encourage you to send the bill to Appropriations and have them fund it. So.
Thank you. Further proponents for Senate Bill 123? Seeing none, anyone who would like to appear before the committee in opposition to 123? Derek, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Derek Johnson. I'm representing the Bureau of Finance and Management. I'm here today to ask you to please oppose Senate Bill 123. Now, I'd like to make it clear that I'm not here opposing literacy or reading intervention programs. Many, many school districts have been using and continue to use these types of programs. And just to review and give a little bit more of the budget background, funding for a reading intervention program was appropriated to the Department of Education in the 2016 legislative session into their 2017 ongoing budget in the amount of $345,000. DOE posted a request for proposal for an online literacy program and then awarded the contract to Imagine Learning. Schools submitted applications to the department in order to get access to the licenses. Then, in the following legislative session, 2017, the ongoing funding was removed from the Department of Education, and one-time funding was added in the amount of $690,000 to fund the program for an additional 2 years, which would have been fiscal year 2018 and fiscal year 2019. And then, as the proponent had mentioned, the contract expired at the end of fiscal year 2019, in June of 2019. And while some of the early data is promising, the Department of Education does not have enough data to conclude that an online program exclusively equates to better scores on state assessments for English language arts. Further, licenses for these types of programs vary, but last year some school districts were surprised to learn that licenses may cost about $150. So just to provide some context, at $150 per license, $750,000 would fund about 5,000 licenses. This year our state aid fall enrollment is $136,000. So possible that this creates some inequity between schools and funding. And again, many schools were using this program or similar programs with their own funds before the appropriation in 2017, during 2017 through 2019, and now after the appropriation has expired. Any new appropriation would be subject to another RFP, and choosing a literacy intervention program can be done at the district level where local context can be taken into consideration. And finally, just more of a comment, but the bill currently doesn't have an emergency clause, so it would be using FY21 ongoing money for a one-time special appropriation. But I would ask you please oppose this bill, but at a minimum, please send this to the Appropriations Committee to be considered with all the other budget items. Thank you, and I'll stand by for questions.
Thank you. Further opponents wish to testify on Senate Bill 123? Seeing none, Senator Greenfield, do you have any wrap-up comments?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Brock Greenfield, once again, Senator from District 2. In response, first of all, as I mentioned, the fact that we had the statewide contract allowed for us to gain increased purchasing power, if you will. Imagine Learning afforded us more contracts than would have otherwise been available if purchased individually. Second, I thought it poignant to pull up one of the comments that was shared with me last year, and this is from a superintendent from the eastern side of the state, Del Rapids to be specific, after I asked what their experience was with Imagine Learning. And I didn't used to be a very good reader. I think I've improved due to training, so I'm going to try to read this quickly and try to be concise in my comments. We have been using Imagine Learning for the last two school years. We're already stumbling. We have approximately 200 licenses that we use primarily in our elementary, but also have several middle school students using the program. While we started just using the program for our ELL students, the program has expanded to be used with both special education and general education students. Our staff targets students needing additional help in reading and commits a 30-minute time block every day for students to use the program. While we feel that intervention is best done in small groups with a trained teacher, this program allows us to reach a large number of students efficiently through technology. More importantly, we have rolled this program out to every kindergarten and first grade student in the district. We are seeing this program as a versatile enough program to not only build on basic reading development, but also able to extend our higher level students. Being proactive in deploying this program to our early learners can only be done through technology. The program individualizes instruction by identifying and adapting to each learner. We are able to track student growth through the reports to share with parents. Students seem to enjoy the program as it uses interactive gaming to keep the student engaged. Although we aren't able to say our success is solely due to the Imagine Learning program, we do feel that it has become an essential component to our consistently high test scores in the elementary. We also hope to see a reduction in the amount of students identified as Title I special education services by grade 3. So there's, I think, a pretty strong review of the program that they utilized, asking for this committee to, give a stamp of endorsement to such literacy intervention programs so that we can direct that the Department of Education issue an RFP for Imagine Learning or some other group to provide us with a similar service. I would also note that last year when I asked about gains for dyslexic students, they said that there were tangible gains for those with dyslexia. And that's one thing that I have heard more and more from people is concerns about those who are dyslexic. So we have students who are currently falling behind, and I would like to see us do anything and everything that we can in order to help them to get ahead. And if it's a program like this that will help, I wholly support it, and I would ask you to as well. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee.
Thank you, Senator. Committee questions on Senate Bill 123. Senator Boland?
Yeah, question for – I guess I'll ask Mr. Richter a question. Mr. Richter, and I – first of all, I just want to say I had a presentation on Imagine Learning with Mr. Richter a couple years ago when he came to Canton, and I appreciate that. Can you refresh my memory and maybe enlighten other committee members here? When this program is being used, is pretty much everybody in the class involved in this program simultaneously, or is the teacher – just kind of how does this whole thing work?
Every district does it differently. Some districts, the whole class uses it. Other districts, they've just identified the students that are in need of the help. It's an online-based program. It tracks the student at their level. So they can't move on in the program until they've accomplished certain being able to, you know, say the word correctly, pick the right object, whatever it is at that particular level. But it's aligned to the content standards of South Dakota. And some districts, like the one that Brock just mentioned, they're using it in every grade, K through 3. Others, if they have students that have moved into the district that don't speak English well, they're just picking those out. We showed the program to Dr. Jones in the immersion program in Sioux Falls at the immersion school that they have there, and they had it was K through 3, and each one of the students were working on it at a different level, but they sit in front of the computer screen with a headphone, with a pair of headphones and a speaker on, a microphone, and they work at their own level, and they usually do it for about 20 minutes at a time during the day, and it's very very adaptive to the student and works very well.
Senator Steinhauer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This would be for Mr. Johnson. As you're coming up, I'd say that my understanding is that for those that have been using it, what we're talking about is the purchase of a license or a renewal of the license. And so my question really revolves around what other funds or ways do they have to do this. And for some in the room, they know I've been asking this question, but I'm a slow learner. I want to understand whether capital dollars, capital outlay dollars, are valid use. I hear that we can buy textbooks, we can buy software, but sometimes there's a question when it comes to the renewal of a license for software, whether those capital dollars can be used there. Can you answer that question for me?
Mr. Chair, yeah, I was just looking back at Mr. Stosser, the Director of Finance for DOE, and he was shaking his head no, that he didn't believe capital dollars could be used. However, as you know, capital dollars can be transferred to general fund up to 45%. School districts also receive general fund dollars both from local effort and state aid, as well as special ed dollars. Special ed dollars could be used for this. I did ask that question to the Department of Education if the licenses are bought exclusively for special ed students.
So to clarify, the answer is no. They can't be used as capital outlay dollars cannot be used to purchase a computer software renewal. Is that correct?
Appears to be the answer.
And a follow-up.
Please.
Can you use capital outlay dollars to purchase textbooks?
Is there dissent on that? So the question is, can you use capital outlay funds to purchase textbooks? Can a district use capital outlay funds in that way, Derek? It's slightly off topic from this morning.
You can phone a friend if you'd like.
So it sounds like the answer from the gallery is if the money is transferred from capital outlay to general fund, but then it's defined as something different. I don't think that's the question, though. Can you use direct capital outlay money for that? And it looks like the director of finance for the DOE is saying that's prohibited. Is that right? Do you want to come up and talk to the committee, even though it's not really the subject matter this morning? We'll entertain it since we've got plenty of time here.
Chairman, no, the capital outlay is for the infrastructure of the schools. So they can use the flexibility to transfer those out to general funds to purchase those licenses.
Understand. Yeah, we can discuss it later. Anything else? Further questions?
It's okay.
Senator Jensen.
Question for Mr. Johnson. Mr. Ritger had made a statement, and I'll paraphrase here, that there's leftover funds available from the education budget and that it may not be necessary to tap into the general fund, which this bill clearly does. Your thoughts on, and this kind of overlapped a little bit with what the previous senator was asking, but your thoughts on current available funding for this?
Mr. Chair. Yeah, you know, I'm not aware of what funds Mr. Richter would be referring to that would be available to pay for this in the Department of Education. This, of course, the bill as written is a general fund appropriation, so it would be appropriating new general funds for this program.
Thank you. Anything else? Further committee questions? How about discussion or action for Senate Bill 123? Senator Boland.
I was going to ask one more question.
Sure.
If I might, would that be appropriate?
Please, yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Of course.
Question for, I guess, Mr. Johnson as well. Actually, yeah, I'll ask you first. Based on what you know, do you have any concerns? I guess probably do you have concerns about the bill primarily your testimony basically says your concerns relate primarily to the finances. Would that be accurate? And the removal of money from the general fund to pay for this,
Mr. Chair. Yeah, that is accurate. In addition to that, you know, the Department of Education had informed me that they don't have enough data to include or to conclude that online program exclusively equates to these higher test scores. And then again, the amount of funding is not an adequate amount to provide this to all schools, and so therefore it may create some inequity. And again, many districts are using this program, similar programs already with existing funds, and so a special appropriation to provide funding for some schools may create some inequity.
One follow-up then.
Please.
What is the difference if school districts buy these licenses? What difference in cost is it if the state helps subsidize? How much are districts going to save if this money is appropriated, each individual school district? Do you have any idea on that, or maybe can anyone answer that question?
Is it, Senator, can I maybe rephrase the question, as Senator Greenfield alluded to, because of the ability for the state to contract instead of one-off at each district, yeah, is there an economy of scale that's presented because of the state writing the contract versus, say, the Sioux Falls School District or Rapid City? That's the question, I think. Do you feel comfortable answering that for us?
Mr. Chair, I'll give it a shot. I can't answer that contract or that question directly, but I would just remind you that if money was appropriated, this would have to go out for RFP, and would be dependent on who was contracted and what their terms were. So.
Sure. Anyone else want to take a stab at the economy of scale question and state contracting versus local?
Thank you.
I know none of us know until the RFP comes out, and we tried to compare it to one-off, but we'll take your best guess, Mr. Richter. How about that?
If you were an individual school district and just went out and bought it on your own, you're going to get charged $150 per license. If you're part of the state contract, you're going to get it for $50 a license. And the $50 includes all the support, setting it up, having the support available if you run into problems with it. It's the total package. We participated in the RFP in 2016, and we're happy to do that. And if that is the process again, we're happy again to compete in an RFP because the program is just that good.
So just to clarify, it was $150 if you tried to do it one-off, and
right,
$50 through, correct, the state contract. So it's a third the cost to the district. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Senator Boland?
And then one follow-up to that as well. Is that on a per-year basis?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Annually. Okay.
Yes.
Sure.
I'll ask you a question. I want to know why you're raising your hand. Then you can come back up. Otherwise, it's just testimony.
I want to clarify the Steinhauer's question about what they can be used for.
Capital outlay funding. Sure. Mr. Chair. Treasurer.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Yes, we pulled up law, and they can use for textbooks and instructional software programs. So that's clarification that I wanted to make. So they can use that. So.
Thank you. Is it a question or a comment?
Just a question.
Okay.
So thank you for the clarification on that you can use it. I heard you say that you can use it for textbooks or computer software. My question revolves around maintenance contracts or renewal of software. Because there's a fine line, and frankly, I think we ought to just open it up. But I'd like to know, when you already own the software and it's a renewal, and they ought to package maintenance contracts as renewals, does a renewal fall under that that you can use capital outlay funds?
The way the statute's written, it doesn't say that, but if it's part of that instructional software, I would think so, yes.
Thank you, and I hope that that's recorded.
I'm not sure it was a binding answer, but it's certainly recorded for posterity. Further questions from the committee? If there aren't any, it would be appropriate at this point for committee action on Senate Bill 123. Senator Boland looks eager.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would make a motion that this bill be referred to the Committee on Appropriations so that it would go through the basic appropriations process. I think that's the best way to handle this. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, can I ask a question of that motion?
I was going to ask if he would like it to proceed to appropriations with any committee recommendation regarding the policy component.
Not at the present time.
Okay, so the Boland motion is that Senate Bill 123 be referred to appropriations for consideration, seconded by Senator Smith. Sure. Did I hear that correct? Or was it Senator Steinhauer? Okay, Senator Steinhauer. A substitute motion would be appropriate should someone be interested in making one. Which I kind of have a sensation that there might be someone so inclined. Senator Heinert.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move we refer this bill to Senate Appropriations with a due pass recommendation.
So the modified amendment, the substitute motion by Senator Heinert is that Senate Bill 123 be referred to Appropriations with a due pass recommendation affixed to it should they find the funding. Correct?
Correct.
Is there a second? Senator Steinhauer seconded the Heinert motion. The matter before the committee is Senator Heinert's substitute motion that 123 be referred to the Appropriations Committee with a due pass motion. All in favor will signify by saying aye, yes, or yay. Those opposed, nay. Mona.
Senator Boland?
No.
Heinert?
Aye.
Jensen?
No.
Smith?
Aye.
Steinhauer?
Aye.
Shane Fish?
No.
Curd?
Aye.
Four yeas, three nays.
The Heinert motion is successful. Senate Bill 123 is referred to the Appropriations Committee with a due pass recommendation so attached. Okay, we have one more matter before the committee this morning. The Office of the Governor has requested that the committee introduce a bill. It's a draft number 826. It's entitled An Act to Revise Certain Provisions Regarding School District Capital Outlay Funds. This is a mostly ministerial function, and the committee has been asked to introduce the bill at the request of the Office of the Governor. It does require a formal roll call vote in order to have it properly introduced. I don't imagine many of you had the chance to observe it. There are many changes in it. It raises the capital outlay fund from $2,800 for each student to $3,000, and there are some restrictions on how the money can be spent, what the levy can be, and so on. It'll come back for discussion, of course, before the committee should the committee find favor and introduce it this morning. So that's the matter before the committee. It's to introduce draft bill 826. And it will get a bill number once it's introduced, and then we'll be back here on the calendar at some point, should we choose to introduce it. Moved by Senator Steinhauer, seconded by anyone? Senator Boland. The motion before the committee is that the draft bill be introduced at the request of the Office of the Governor. All in favor will say aye, yes, or yay. Those opposed, nay. Mona.
Senator Boland?
Aye.
Heinert?
No.
Jensen?
No.
Smith?
Aye.
Steinhauer?
Aye.
Shane Fish?
Aye.
Curd?
Aye.
Five yeas, two nays.
Draft Bill 826 will be introduced. It will be assigned a bill number. I imagine we'll hear it back here at some point. Any other matters for consideration by the Senate Education Committee? If there aren't any, a motion for adjournment would be appropriate. Moved by Senator Jensen, seconded by Senator Steinhauer. All in favor?
Aye.
Education is adjourned. Thank you.